The first lesson is recorded in the book of Isaiah, chapter 61, beginning at the first verse. The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me, because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives, and release from darkness for the prisoners, to proclaim the year of the Lord's favor and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all who mourn, and provide for those who grieve in Zion, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, and a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair. They will be called oaks of righteousness, a planting of the Lord for the display of his splendor. They will rebuild the ancient ruins and restore the places long devastated. They will renew the ruined cities that have been devastated for generations. For I, the Lord, love justice. I hate robbery and wrongdoing. In my faithfulness I will reward my people and make an everlasting covenant with them. Their descendants will be known among the nations and their offspring among the peoples. All who see them will acknowledge that they are a people the Lord has blessed. I delight greatly in the Lord. My soul rejoices in my God. For he has clothed me with garments of salvation and arrayed me in a robe of his righteousness, as a bridegroom adorns his head like a priest, and as a bride adorns herself with her jewels. For as the soil makes the sprout come up and a garden causes seeds to grow, so the Sovereign Lord will make righteousness and praise spring up before all nations. This is the word of the Lord. The second lesson is recorded in the book of 1 Thessalonians, chapter 5, beginning at the 16th verse. Rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. Do not quench the Spirit. Do not treat prophecies with contempt, but test them all. Hold on to what is good. Reject every kind of evil. May God Himself, the God of peace, sanctify you through and through. May your whole spirit, soul, and body be kept blameless at the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. The one who calls you is faithful, and He will do it. This is the word of the Lord. The Holy Gospel according to St. John. There was a man sent from God whose name was John. He came as a witness to testify concerning that light, so that through him all might believe. He himself was not the light. He came only as a witness to the light. Now this was John's testimony when the Jewish leaders in Jerusalem sent priests and Levites to ask him who he was. He did not fail to confess, but confessed freely. I am not the Messiah, they asked him. Then who are you? Are you Elijah? He said, I am not. Are you the prophet? He answered, no. Finally, they said, who are you? Give us an answer to take back to those who sent us. What do you say about yourself? John replied in the words of Isaiah the prophet, I am the voice of one calling in the wilderness. Make straight the way for the Lord. Now the Pharisees who had been sent questioned him, why then do you baptize if you are not the Messiah? Nor Elijah, nor the prophet. I baptize with water, John replied, but among you stands one you do not know. He is the one who comes after me, the straps of whose sandals I am not worthy to untie. This all happened at Bethany on the other side of the Jordan where John was baptizing. This is the gospel of the Lord.
Thanks be to God. Well, I greet you this morning in the joy that is ours through Christ Jesus our Lord. I want to begin by telling you a story of two criminals that were on death row in another country. But it was Christmas time, and the king decided that he would pardon both of them. And so both of them departed out the prison gates and into freedom. Now the first man was filled with joy and excitement and happiness. He shouted and jumped up and down for joy as he looked at his pardon papers. He said, "What joy to know that I was on my way to death, but now I have been given life as a gift by the king." The other man, however, just stood there trembling and questioning the king's motives. He said, "Can this be true? This must be a joke. Nobody would do this for me. I mean, I deserve death. The death penalty for what I've done." And so he was terrified. Instead of joy, he felt miserable. In fact, he tried to discourage the first man by saying, "You know, it's probably not true. It's probably not true." Well, we see in this story that the first man believed the pardon and he had the assurance and therefore he had the joy about being released. The second man, however, questioned the pardon, and he had neither the joy nor the assurance in his release. The first man looked to the king and his gift and thanked him for the pardon. The second man looked to himself, looked in himself to see the doubts in him, and that took away the joy of his assurance. Well, I pray today that all of us will be like the first prisoner. That we look with joy, the joy that is ours because of the coming of our pardon in the form of a baby in Bethlehem. The greatest gift that we could ever receive, that our Savior Jesus coming to earth to fulfill the first part of God's desire to give us freedom. We shouldn't question the King who gave us that pardon. We shouldn't even be surprised about it because it's been predicted for thousands of years. As a matter of fact, in today's Old Testament lesson, Isaiah the prophet said this. He said, "The Spirit of the Sovereign Lord is on me because the Lord has anointed me to proclaim good news to the poor. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim freedom for the captives, and release from darkness for the prisoners, to bestow on them a crown of beauty instead of ashes, the oil of joy instead of mourning, a garment of praise instead of a spirit of despair." Of course, the release that he was talking about here is the release from the bondage of sin. We too were headed to death, eternal death, but for the pardon given to us through Jesus. Shouldn't we all be joyous about that? Shouldn't we be shouting and screaming and about how great our King is? And so today we celebrate. We celebrate on this third Sunday of Advent. You notice when the Advent wreath was lit, there were two blue candles, and today we lit the pink candle. The pink candle, or sometimes it's rose-colored, symbolizes the joy that is ours at Christmas time. Blue symbolizes the coming of our royalty, the King. The joy of new life that is given to us by the coming of Jesus. The joy that is ours because of God's plan of salvation to tangibly put into action by the birth of the little baby in Bethlehem. Wow, what a gift that was, right? You know, Peter wrote in his first letter, in chapter 1, he said, "Though you have not seen Him, you love Him. And even though you do not see Him now, you believe in Him and are filled with inexpressible and glorious joy. For you are receiving the end result of your faith, the salvation of your souls." We have already received the end result of our faith. The second person of the Godhead who came with keys to open our prison doors and set us free from death row. Our Redeemer, our Savior, the tangible proof of our new life in Christ. Why shouldn't we have joy in our hearts today, unspeakable joy. The writer of Hebrews in chapter 12 tells us to, he says, "Let's fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before Him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God." Well, what was the joy set before Him? It certainly wasn't the presence. You know, it wasn't the gold and frankincense and myrrh that the Magi came and presented to the baby Jesus. I mean, He was a baby. He didn't even know He got those presents. It wasn't the glory of the angels in heaven extolling the glory of God the Father. I mean, I don't think Jesus had to leave heaven to experience that. It wasn't the crowds of shepherds and the other people that came to honor Him, to worship Him. It certainly wasn't the cross that, as we know, He had to endure. Jesus knew what was going to happen to Him when He was born and He lived out His life. He knew that He would give up His divine place in order to be born into human existence, and He knew what the end of that life would bring Him. So what was the joy set before Him? It was knowing that He would fulfill His Father's plan. It was knowing that He would follow His Father's will and He would please His Father. It was knowing that we would then be able to be with Him in all eternity. It was the joy of Him giving us the gift of release, because He loves us. He wants us to be with Him in all eternity. That's why He came. That's why He went through all of this for us. Shouldn't we have that same joy at this time of the year, and really always, when we remember that how God put His plan into place with that baby in Bethlehem that day? You see, it was just at the right time that Jesus came to the earth. It was God's time. It was God's way. So this is a time for celebration. And, you know, we should have so much joy that we can't even describe it. Unspeakable joy. We're freed. We're freed to live in all eternity with our Savior Jesus. Hallelujah. There are some people that are like that second prisoner in my story. They doubt the release. They doubt the King. They doubt that it's possible, because they can't imagine a God so loving that He would forgive the deep, dark secrets that are in the sins of human hearts. That God would so love the world that He would give His only Son to accomplish the freedom from those sins and everlasting life for all people. Those are the people that we maybe read about during this time of the year. Or maybe we know people like that. It can be, you know, the people that are despondent, The people that have the spirit of despair, like Isaiah mentioned, at this time of the year. And it's especially true if they've lost maybe a loved one over the past year. Or maybe, you know, they have chronic illnesses for them or their spouses. Or maybe their children have moved away and they have no support group. They have no people group to help them, friends to help them. So it's easy for them to look inward when they're in these situations. They don't have Jesus to look forward to. And they don't have loving people around them, showing them that Jesus came to this earth to release them from all of that. And so they withdraw further and further. You know, studies have said that when people are in that state of mind, especially around Christmas time, it's good for them to interact with people, especially when those other people show them and remind them of the gift of Jesus, that He brings to them everlasting life. So instead of focusing on what's going wrong in this temporary world that we live in, they should and we should be focusing on what God has already provided for us. You know, they say that giving is better than receiving, right? Well, Jesus would agree with that because He gave His all for us. And we can find joy in giving others the message of Jesus, showing them what He's done for us, showing them that He's going to take care of them no matter what their circumstances are, that He loves them. And He wants them to be with Him in all eternity. That He is Emmanuel, God with us. And that He will come again one day to take us to our forever. But God gives us a choice on how we respond to His gifts, like the prisoners in my story. Give you some examples. Think about the first Christmas story and the people involved with that. Think about Mary. When the angel told Mary that she was going to be with child and she was going to give birth to the Son of God, she had a choice. She could have chosen to doubt that. She could have chosen to lament what a burden that was going to be to her. She could have been then divorced by Joseph and probably lived a life of exile. But she didn't. Instead, she chose to consider this event as a joyous gift from God. In matter of fact, as recorded in Luke 2, Mary said this. She said, "My soul glorifies the Lord, and my spirit rejoices in God my Savior, for He has been mindful of the humble state of His servant. From now on all generations will call me blessed, for the Mighty One has done great things for me. Holy is His name." And then there's Joseph. Joseph had a choice when Mary and the angel told him that Mary was going to be with child. I mean, Joseph could have divorced her to, you know, avoid any public embarrassment that a pregnant fiancé might cause during that period of time. Instead, he chose to believe the angel and to consider it a gift from God. And how about the innkeeper in Bethlehem there? I mean, the innkeeper was very busy and very, it was a very crowded and hectic time. He could have very well said, "No, no way I'm going to let you stay in my barn with the animals." But he didn't. He chose to be joyful in giving them hospitality, as much hospitality as he could during that crowded time in Bethlehem. And so you see, we can choose to find joy in the coming of the good news. Joyful at Christ's first coming, for which we celebrate at this time of the year, and then joyful in the anticipation of His second coming. That He will come one day to bring us to our eternal home. Because Isaiah wrote in chapter 12, he wrote about Jesus' second coming. He said this, "In that day you will say, 'Give thanks to the Lord, call on His name, make known among the nations what He has done, and proclaim that His name is exalted. Sing to the Lord, for He has done glorious things. Let this be known to all the world. Shout aloud and sing for joy, people of Zion, for great is the Holy One of Israel among you.'" Jesus came to us in that first Christmas. He now lives in us through the person of His Holy Spirit. And He will come again on that last day to lead us to eternal glory for all of those who believe in Him as their Savior. God gives us choice, and I pray that we will all choose to shout and sing for joy this Christmas season. Why? Because the Mighty One has done great things for us. Holy is His name. Amen.